K2 RCL Mobile.
KO4EEA.
KO4EEA, this is K2 RCL, go ahead.
What's on Father's Day afternoon, Greg?
Outside right now, sun's out, and clouds are starting to go away, so it looks like it's going to be the start for a good afternoon.
Guarantee. It looks like, we got some rain down here in Honeypath. This is Steve, and I'm down here in Honeypath right now, so we're getting a little bit of rain, but the sun's still shining. Go ahead.
Bet you got Russell out here, over here in Taylor's area right now.
By the mountain, I'm assuming.
That's pretty close to it. I'm a little bit closer to Greer right now, but, headed up toward the Taylor's area here in just a minute.
Get back to you, and I didn't know if you were out doing something important or just out riding around.
Go ahead. I'm gonna pick up a little something to eat and head to the house. And wife and I are gonna sit down and eat a bite and kick back and relax for the rest of the afternoon, I reckon.
Sounds like a plan, yeah. Well, I was out here working on my solar system. I'm trying to build me a solar power generator and got all the stuff and trying to put it together. I just hope I don't wire it up and blow something up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. But you'll have a voltage controller in it, won't you?
Voltage controller, I got a monitor, I got a switch that turns the inverter on and off, and so, you know, like I said, I just got to put it all together. Got a 200-watt solar bank and solar panels, and I'm going to put it on a 12-volt system. I'll go off 4 6-volt batteries, two in series, and then hook those in parallel. And try to go from there and give me like 2 12-volt batteries with like 400 and I think it's 450 amp hours each. And maybe I can be able to run this equipment on it when I get done, just to see if it's going to work. And that way I can be mobile with it if I need to go somewhere and do some helping out with disasters or something like that. Hopefully we don't have none, but that's my plan there. Go ahead.
Sounds like a good plan. I believe you ought to be able to make it work there.
We got to figure out just how much amps these things use whenever they're pulling power there. And this is a DC radio, but I got to hook to a power supply converter that converts the AC back to DC to run the radio. But then I want something that's going to run the AC there, Greg.
Got you. You plan on hooking your radio straight into the battery and running it straight off DC and then using the inverter to run your AC components that you can't run on 12 volts? That ought to work pretty good. What type of inverter are you running? Modified or pure sine?
It's 3,000 watt. I got it from Windy Nation Solar System, and that's, you know, kind of as part of kit. I bought it about 4 or 5 years ago, something like that, and just never put it together. And I found this old trailer that my father-in-law had stuck down there in his woods that he wasn't using, so I got it out and put new tires on it and cleaned it up and knocked the floor out of it and replaced it with some wood, and that's what I'm putting it on there, making it kind of a portable deal. Go ahead.
You replaced the floor with wood here recently. You got a fortune in it then.
Out on the 2x6s I got, my son-in-law, he's in the handyman business, so he was tearing away a pier down here on Lake Secession, and he got all of that old wood, the 2x6s that they used to make that pier with, and I got to looking at it, and all of the side that was up next to the sun, you know, the top side of it was really looked like it was damaged, but it wasn't that much into the wood, so then the bottom of it looked just like brand new almost, so it didn't cost us anything for the wood there, but that's what I used to put the floor in it, and it's going to be strong enough to do what I want to do there, go ahead.
If you would for free, then you got a heck of a deal there, because you go down at Lowe's or Home Depot or around local, it's through the roof. I just can't believe how much it's went up. And I talked to a couple boys that haul pup wood and stuff, and they said that the price of wood ain't went up none at the yard, but it sure went up in the store.
Yeah, I talked to a friend of mine who owns a lumber company here in Honeypath, and he said, yeah, it went up, but he said, but it is coming back down, but it probably won't go back down to the prices of pre-COVID, though, Greg.
I don't think anything's going to go back down to where it was. They done got us accustomed to paying them higher prices, so we're going to be happy when it comes down some, but just not if it comes all the way back down to where it was.
I know it was like, here a while back, it was like $1 a linear foot on 2x8s and two by fours anyway. You know, like $8 for an 8-foot board, that's kind of ridiculous, I think, Eric.
Up with it for a little while, and I seen at one point that a 2x4 stud down at Lowe's went for $9.97.
Linear foot, man, it's ridiculous. I mean, there's no point in jacking it up like that. I don't know why they do that, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, the two I feel the most sorry for is the guys that are out here in the construction business that are doing it for a living to build houses. And then the flip side of that is these younger couples that are just getting out there and they're trying to buy a house. And now they're having to pay $30,000-$40,000 more than what it would have been. And then what's that going to do when lumber prices and stuff come back down? How's that going to turn the house market and the house values and stuff? Are they going to either stay the same or are they going to come back down and then you're going to be upside down on a house?
I'll be, like you said, upside down on the house because when the market value drops on the price of lumber to build a new one, now I don't know about one that's already there, of course. You know, the, I guess by it going up the way it did, the lumber and all that, they put the used housing markets, the ones that's already been out there, say, 10, 15 years or more, it made them go up as well. I mean, you know, it boosted the price on those. So, I mean, I guess it kind of flows with the housing market like that, go ahead.
That I reckon it's like ham radio stuff too. You buy, can't find nothing used cheap. They want almost new prices for it, and you buy, can't buy nothing new because there ain't nothing out there. Everything's on back order.
Because of that, that's what drives the price up, the supply and demand. But like you said, if I'm gonna buy stuff, you know, got to looking at the used radio equipment, and I could buy, you know, put $50 more with it and get the same thing. Of course, what they're selling is probably not maybe 2 or 3 years old and still good, in good working condition. But you know, I just seem to buy the new stuff, and that way I have got some kind of manufacturer's warranty with it, will you?
That, at least you got something to fall back on if something does go wrong with it.
Yes, sir. That's the only thing I hadn't bought new is my antennas, and I've been building them, you know, just kind of a hobby to practice on that, so if I could build some antennas, and that's where I'm at. Matter of fact, that's what I'm talking off now, the homemade J-pole, that way.
Sound good on the J-pole. Coming into the repeater full quieting. Got, modulation seems to be a little bit high on the mic, but aside from that, I mean, you're definitely readable and definitely clear.
How to adjust this thing other than my voice, you know, holding away from my mouth. That's about the only way I know how to adjust it right now. I got to read up some more on this radio I bought. Of course, I've only been doing ham for about a year, so I'm still learning there. Go ahead.
Too far ahead of you. I just, I started in 2018 and got my ham license in, and I just done my extra, so I finished it out. But, yeah. Just backing off the mic a little bit there, that made a big difference. He didn't have quite the reverb in it that it was having before.
Hey, right. Well, maybe that's just it. I don't have to get up into the mic like I used to do back in the day when I did CB radios. All right, go ahead.
Oh, no. Technology's changed a lot. It's changed a lot. And this repeater up there on Caesar's Head, I mean, it's sitting about 3,500 feet. It's got a wide coverage area, and I'm going to say 99% of the time it's just about crystal clear. If you can get into it from about anywhere around here, even with a 5-watt handheld, I mean, a lot of people can get into it, and it seems to send out a broad signal. It's real nice and clean.
I tried to hit that repeater with my handheld. I do it here with the what I call kind of like a mobile base unit I got set up, but that's basically, you know, I got it permanently fixed in my ham shack here. But I never have tried to hit it with a handheld. Now, I have done it on my mobile radio when I'm out riding around. You know, I've got into it with it, but I think it's like 100 watts, and I got it set on medium, which not quite pushing 100 watts. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd say you definitely don't need 100 watts. I mean, there's a ton of people out there right now around the area that's getting into it with a 5-watt Baofeng radio and not having any trouble and coming in nice and clear. I'm on a mobile right now, and I'm running low power, which I believe is about 8 watts on it.
and the wattage back on low power. Like I said, I run it medium most of the, for these local repeaters and stuff like that. Go ahead.
RCL for ID. Yeah, that's usually the thing. I think Steve, KM4VWA, he was set up the other night, and apparently somebody a ways off from here has got a repeater on the same frequency as this one. He was picking up a little bit of it, and I think he was getting into them a little bit, so I think he backed the power off a little bit. You can still get into the Caesars Head repeater just fine, and comes across clear and doesn't interfere with anybody.
KM4EEA for identification. Yeah, well, I tell you, though, I think most of the books I read, they said you use the lowest possible power to get the repeaters or to get to where you want, you know, to talk to who you want to. So, and if you can't get them there, then you can boost your power, but, you know, you're allowed to go up. But I think the common courtesy is just use lowest possible power you can. That way you don't interfere with other people. Go ahead.
Roger that. And I'm going through studying for the extra and stuff. It's the same way with satellite uplinks, too. You get into those, and they want you to use as low a power as you have to use to get into it. Otherwise, the satellite will drop the output power to everybody else because you're coming in too strong.
Anything except for VHF, UHF, and I've done a little HF stuff. I got my general, like I said, about a year ago. I hadn't tried for my technical, but I'm in my advanced. But, you know, I do pretty good on it with just what I'm running. And a lot of times I will talk on HF. I'll talk to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, places like that. That's just off of an HF, off of a homemade antenna that I built for 40 meters. Right, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's HF's starting to pick back up a little bit. It's been in a lull there for a while, but I think we're starting to see things pick back up a little bit. I'm picking up some stuff here and there, and hadn't had a whole lot of time to sit down and play with it, but it's definitely getting there.
And talking, I'm listening to those guys a lot of times, and they'll be talking to people out in California, and I can hear them, and I'm sure I could probably get into them if I tried, but I'd rather listen on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm game to get as far out as I can get. I definitely would like to see how far my little radio will get out there and go. Pick up a few things. You can do some echo link stuff too, and pick up around the local area and way out too.
I've used that echo link on my computer or my little iPad that I've got here, and I've talked to, you know, like I said, well, I heard a guy from England one night, and I chatted with him for a little bit on that echo link, but I've been trying to get into this systems fusion stuff, the C4FM, that's what it's called, I think, because I've got this Yaesu radio, got everything set up, and I don't know whether I just can't get out and hit those repeaters because we don't have one close by or what, but I can set it up and talk from my handheld to my base, but that's about as far as I can get there. Go ahead.
Roger that. I'm not familiar with the fusion. I've done some DMR stuff and built a little DMR hotspot, played around with it and enjoyed it. But there's several guys on this repeater that have done the fusion that can probably help you out with it.
I just wonder if you can do DMR with a Yaesu. I know you can do it with like ICOMs and Kenwoods. Right, go ahead.
Honestly, I don't know. The DMR I done was with an Anytone 878 handheld that's DMR capable. And I built the little Pi-Star hotspot for it and programmed it up and got it operational off just that little radio. Been playing around with it.
Well, you know, I heard somebody talk about the Pi, and I went and bought one, and I've got, you know, got it here at the house. And all I found out from my vantage point right now is, like I said, I'm still kind of new at this, but the thing I could figure out was you could use it for a small computer, and that's about all I've been able to use it for right now. I haven't tried to do the hotspot stuff on it yet. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure most of the MMDVM hats will do P25, Fusion, DMR, and I want to say they'll do D-Star too. I can't remember for sure. I set mine up for DMR, and it seems to work good for that. But like I said, I mean, there's other people that's tried them and used them other ways. and got them to work and had good success with them. And some people swear by them, and some people just can't get them to work and won't use them.
That's kind of where I'm at right now. I haven't really tried that much, so I can't say that it won't work. I just, like I said, I haven't tried to use it, tried to set it up for that yet, but that was my intentions when I bought the thing, was to maybe get on some of this digital stuff. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, if you're interested in trying to do something with DMR, you can punch my call sign, K2RCL, into YouTube, and I've got a three-part series going right now where I built that hotspot and then did the Bi-Star setup to show how to get everything functional off of the unit that I built.
K2RCL on YouTube. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's channel name's just my call sign. It's just a little channel with a couple of videos that I put together when I was building that DMR hotspot. And I'll try to add some more to it as I go along, but that was just, I was trying to share because I was in one of the groups and a lot of people was having trouble, and I finally got some of it figured out, so I was just trying to share the information out there.
Better check that out as soon as we get through that QSO here, and see what it says, and maybe get a picture of you, and at the same time, I go ahead.
Yeah, I tried to make it as simple as I could make it so you could actually, you know, if you've already got one, it's already got the operating system loaded on the SD card in it, then you're a step ahead of the game. You just have to get into it and set it up for DMR. I went through the steps on it on what to select and how to do it. But now keep in mind, a lot of it was specific for the one I built. So if yours is made different, you may have some different settings that'll have to be changed.
I think that's kind of like programming it for that. Is that correct? You know, in other words, you're programming the Pi for whatever you want. Go ahead.
Well, if you powered yours up and the screen shows up and stuff like that, then there's a lot of settings in there that you won't have to change, that I had to change in mine because I built it from scratch parts. But then you can get into the actual frequency in the DMR section, and that'll get you set up, and then you just have to program your radio to transmit to that frequency with the call, with the talk groups.
Okay. Well, like I said, I'll check your YouTube out tonight, check your video out tonight, see what it does. I might try to go ahead and set mine up because, like I said, I put the SD card in it. It came with it, so I just put it in there, and after I put it together, and everything comes up just like Raspberry Pi, and it gives you my, you know, it goes like Google Chrome. And I can get on the internet and all that stuff with it, so I might just try to set it up as a hot spot there. Go ahead.
I got you. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I didn't set mine up where you could actually use it like a computer. I just done the flashed operating system for the Pi Star and set it up that way.
But when I put the SD card in it, it automatically downloaded that stuff on there and made it set up like a computer there. So I'm hoping that I can still use it for that. Go ahead.
Yeah, the good thing about it is you can pull that SD card out, set it to the side, and you could flash a Pi Star card and put it in there because everything is stored on that card. In other words, the Raspberry Pi doesn't store anything. Everything's stored on the card, so you can switch it around.
Well, listen, I'm going to get out of here and let you get back to what you were doing. I know you said you were on mobile, so listen, you have a safe trip wherever you're going, and I hope you enjoy your supper tonight with your wife, and 73's to you. This will be Kilo Oscar 4, Echo Echo Alpha. I'll be clear off of your final.
Echo 4EA, it was a pleasure talking with you. Enjoyed the conversation there. I'll say 73's. This will be K2RCL, and I'll be clear.